This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Wadood.
Walaikum salam. How are you, Sister Hale? How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, really good. The guests that we're having today, Brother Eddie from the Dean Show, all of you must already know him. His life is like a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, unbelievable story about how he came from this place of being on the street and nightclubs and prison cell to reflecting about what is really the true purpose of my life.
Yes, yes. So I'm sure everyone is going to be inspired just seeing the transformation, because this Ramadan series is all about transformation. And when we have the examples of giving up a bad habit. And we all struggle with that, whether it's overeating, whether it's smoking, whether it's what you look at, all of those things are very challenging. But when we look at the example of a person who completely changes their life around for the sake of Allah, it's really inspiring. So I know that it's going to be a great interview, inshallah.
Inshallah. Really looking forward to it.
Me too. So, assalamu alaikum and welcome to a mindful Ramadan transformed by the light, inspiring stories about converts. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Eddie. Welcome to the program.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We've done several shows together. MashaAllah, I came to Chicago and you hosted me and you were on my program. And then we also, where was it? Was it Kansas that we did that fundraiser for a masjid?
Clintonstown, the former president. Yeah. What was the town? I remember it by that town. yeah. Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton's Little Rock.
Was that it?
Was
yeah,
it was Little Rock,
right?
Yeah. Little Rock, yes.
Arkansas.
Oh, so it was Arkansas. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So, mashallah, you went from the streets of Chicago to the hosting your own talk show. And really, your life is straight out of a Hollywood film, mashallah. So we want to find out about your journey. And we have Brother Wadood here as well.
So welcome, everybody. It's exciting to meet Brother Eddie and do this interview together, mashallah, about our mindful Ramadan.
So tell us, you know, how did it all start off? I mean, your childhood led a very different lifestyle. You were into gangs, you were living it up, you were quite successful as a non-Muslim. And then what happened? What was the transformation?
SubhanAllah. It's like I got to go back in the memory bank and go back and think about those times. It was subhanAllah. And I'm just thankful every time I think about it, is I'm thankful for the hidayah. I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and earth, for the guidance, because that life, you cannot pay me enough money to go back to that. If you choose guidance and misguidance, right? So it was a life of just misguidance, worshiping your desires pretty much. It was just about fulfilling the desires. And this is what, it's unfortunate. This is what the most people are doing, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me, and it's such a blessing.
Yeah, mashallah. Was there a pivotal moment that just kind of ignited your journey to Islam?
Well, you know, my parents are from the former Yugoslavia, so they're Bosnian, and when that broke up, you have Croatia, this is more Catholic, Serbians are Orthodox Christian, and Bosnians are traditionally Muslim. Mm-hmm. But they weren't practicing, and I really didn't have that in my upbringing except for my grandparents. And then what happened was I ended up going through life and having the things that money can buy and all of the other nice pleasures and whatnot that come with that. And then I just start to ask the question, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? I literally was asking that question, literally, like, you know, when you leave the places you're not supposed to be at, the nightclubs, and you go get your burrito at 3-4 in the morning. And then you're just like, hey, it's like we've done this so many times. It's like, is this really what we're going to keep doing? Is there people know, like, we'll have these deep conversations, but then some go towards the path of seeking sincerely guidance, and then others don't. So what triggered it was me earnestly wanting and seeking, and then signs would come. I remember one Ramadan came and I was like, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to drink this Ramadan. And that's like kind of a thing in the Bosnian community a lot of times is maybe they'll give up. I don't know about other communities, but in Bosnian community, this is from my community where I was from, is this was a big thing now. Okay, I'm going to give up something. But then Ramadan ends and then you're back drinking, right? So I remember gave up alcohol for that month, and I was just contemplating, thinking. And then I would hear stories. I was started to read more about Islam. I read a book by Dr. Ahmed Sucker called Life, Death, and the Grave.
I remember him. He's such a
you remember him?
Kind man. Yes, he's from Lebanon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
I read that. I went back to my uncle. My uncle's a chiropractor, and he used to patch me up when I used to get in fights and whatnot, and give me some nasiha and whatnot. But a lot of times it was in one ear out the other, because you're fixated like on certain things that you got to accomplish and get. And I was accomplishing those things, but then finally it started to blossom and grow. And I went back to him. He was the first one I went back to when I heard this story about someone being punished in the grave, and they dug up the grave and the body just looked really like tore up. And then I was like, what is this like? And I was like, okay, we're going to go into the grave one day. And then I went to tell the story to my uncle. He gave me this book, Life, Death, and the Hereafter. And I read this book and I was just fascinated. So that kicked it off. And then from there, I started to listen to, I wanted to make sure, okay, my parents, I come from a background Muslim, but I want to make sure. What the question was, like, how do I not know? What about all these other religions? Like, what about Christianity? What about Buddhism? What about all these religions? So I started to take a deep dive into all the different world religions. And I watched some Ahmed Hidat. He had these debates going on. That really was like, wow, that blew me away. And then the journey began.
MashaAllah. So first was that lack of fulfillment, thinking, what is my purpose? Then it was about questioning what's going to happen when I die. And that verse, like, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, right? That is the one thing that wakes everybody up. And then you started just seeking. And that's what creates the transformation when you're actually looking for it. Brother Wadood, would you like to reflect on that?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Ahmed Sucker that you said you mentioned him. I remember growing up in the 90s and him coming to Dallas for all these fundraising. And then he used to say, you know, don't deposit your money to BOA, Bank of America. Deposit your money in BOA, Bank of Akhira. You know, he used to always say that.
That's so nice. May Allah reward him.
I remember him, and it was a blessing that we got to see him, you know, before he started deteriorating. May Allah bless him. May Allah fill his grave with more. It's beautiful that, you know, he's someone, one of the pioneers in this country that wrote books, you know, so many books, and he was just always out trying to support the communities and Muslims. And it's just reminding me of that, mashallah, mashallah.
And that book, you can see, like, and he doesn't know what's happening, but his book affected me.
Yes.
His book affected me to think deeper, to really, I read that book quick. I think it was like 200 pages. I read mashallah. That book faster than I think I read any other book. And that really just turned things on
mashallah.
For me.
And everything that you're doing is now on his scale. And
yes.
So what happened? What was that transformation like? You had to make so many changes. And our Ramadan program is all about transformation, changing your behavior, becoming a better version of ourselves. And that was really hard because you had to give up so many habits, so many behaviors. What helped you through that transformation?
I mean, the thing, okay, death was something that scared me. It just scared me straight. I really was scared. And I started reading more books on death, and I was like, wow, this is really like serious. I can die tomorrow. We're just living in la la land, thinking like we got time, shaitan is fooling us and whatnot, and you're procrastinating. I didn't want to procrastinate. So, okay, so what does my creator, what does he want from me? First thing is salat. Okay. I wasn't one of those. It took me time, years to establish. No, that was like right dead on. I remember Cat Stevens, Use of Islam, his book. Yeah. That he had an audio. So I started swallowing up. Back then it was VHS. And I started ordering all of the things that's out there. You know, it said Islam. I was like, just give it to me. I didn't really know, like, okay, this is good, authentic, whatever. I was just like, Allah, guide me, please, you know. And I ended up listening to I read some of his stuff on the prayer. He had some really good things. And I remember not knowing, I was just like, okay, learning how to pray. So I'd have the book and I'd be listening with the earphones. I remember that. And I'd just be going through the motions, learning the prayer. So I established the prayer. And that prayer, even the prayer, I remember, because that was a thing that took some time transitioning, because I used to be really involved into the entertainment, nightclub industry and whatnot. Now I my livelihood and everything was there. So it took some time to get out of there, but I gave up alcohol. But then it was like being in an environment without alcohol, it was like being around a bunch of zombies. It was like, it was a nightmare. And I remember I would leave at certain, I would leave the place apart and I'd go, Fajr was coming in,
I'd
take the car. So I can take a lesson from that, that indeed, I mean, the prayer is so connecting with Allah. And then slowly the change. It took time. And then other things you start leaving off step by step by step.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah, that's powerful. That you had the discipline, I believe. Is it a boxer? You do martial arts.
Yes. Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, yes, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So you had the discipline. I think that you tapped into that discipline, mashaAllah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. whatever I do, I try to do it to the best of my, with Ihsan.
MashaAllah.
I wasn't playing, yeah.
Was that something that you were trained at before you kind of came back to Islam and started finding Islam, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, that discipline, or was that after?
Islam gave me more structure in my life, gave me more discipline, but I obviously had some of those qualities, and the Islam just enhanced them to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
MashaAllah. And you just recently had an amazing conversion. Could you tell us about that? The jiu-jitsu practitioner Royce Gracie just embraced Islam. I think it was last week. I saw your post on it, mashallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So what happened, the background to that was that we had my cousin, he had booked a seminar with him, and he was somebody that I had also started with training with. He was part of the main academy, the Gracie Academy. Mm-hmm. And I remember him reffing for my fights in my early years at a tournament. And then he's the one who gave me my first belt, the blue belt.
Oh, wow.
I used to travel out to Torrance, California. That's where Horian Gracie was the founder of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. His older brother, he's the one who started the UFC. Many people now know Dana White and they know Habib.
Yes.
But before Habib, Dana White, and they were involved, you had the Gracies, Horian Gracie, and then Royce Gracie, who was the one, he's like the Michael Jordan of jiu-jitsu, of the martial arts world.
Oh, wow.
When you say Michael Jordan, some people still might not know who Royce Gracie is, but he's like the Michael Jordan of the martial arts world. And what happened was that he had posted something. So the seminar was set up in Bosnia, and then he had posted something out there supporting the... what's happening in
Israel,
Gaza, the genocide that's happening. And he points to something in favor of Israel.
Wow.
And that just set things off. So then I spoke to my cousin and I said, look, why don't you, I think there's a lot of conditioning, a lot of programming. We need to educate the people. Let's take this as a learning opportunity, because most people just don't know. You know, the mainstream media is very, it's like almost magic on the people, like sihr, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, let's invite him on. I've had him on the program before. I said, so invite him on. Let's see if he'd like to hear the other side of what's going on, what's really going on. And then he said, yeah, I'd like that. So I think that was a really positive step, that somebody's willing to talk, willing to discuss, and willing to listen to us. So then he came down, he drove down, and I happened to be at the Dean Center, and he came down there. He took the initiative. He came down, and I had also Sheikh Uthman, Ibn Farouk was there. We're planning to do the next day the opening for the soft opening for the masjid, and he's giving the khutbah. So alhamdulillah, we made it that far. And then so he came and we had a discussion back and forth. He's asking questions, this, that, and the other, and he's asking, like, so how do I go to Mecca? And before that, when he walked into the masjid, his son asked, What is that over there? And I have a bunch of dawah materials, and he said, what's that over there? And he's pointing to the translation of the Quran. So I walked over there. I said, oh, this is the Quran. Let me give you guys a gift. And his son said, I've been meaning to read this.
Oh,
and then we started having Ramadan's coming around. And then we start before we start the program, his son is already asking questions. Mm. Then his father has his input. And I remember catching him. I asked him something around Jesus, because they're from Brazil, and Brazil is primarily Catholic. And now I asked him about Jesus. Do you believe he's Son of God, God? He said, no, I believe do you believe he's a messenger? He said, yes, I believe he's a messenger.
Oh, that makes it a lot easier when they don't see it. Okay, that was good. You got that cleared.
Yeah, okay. So and then he was talking about he doesn't eat pork, he doesn't drink, stuff like that. But I can never fast. He's like, I could never fast. I don't know how you guys do it. This is off camera. Then we get on camera, the subject comes up again somehow. So we start educating him on what's going on in Gaza. We start educating him about the apartheid, the oppressive state, about, you know, making examples of if somebody came into your home, put you in the basement, and really what's going on over there. then we shift over to the other topic. He asks if we can go, how can he go to Mecca? So then I say, this is the easiest visa. All you have to say is, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I define what that
visa.
Is.
I like that. I'm going to use that. Easiest visa. All right.
Yeah, I define what that is. The sheikh talks about the Mecca. The sheikh is breaking things down. He's agreed. Yes, I agree. Yes, that's I agree with that. Then we shift back, educating him. He's asking questions about Palestine, Gaza, da, da. And right. then at the end, he pretty much ended up taking the Shahada, yeah.
Allahu Akbar. And what a figure to take the Shahada. That's going mm-hmm. to cause an earthquake, I think. And it already has, mashallah, right?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah help him to really take Islam serious and to really Ameen. Establish it in his life. And it's our job to go ahead and convey and do our yes. part. And then now... But to see that shift, to see somebody who came and sat with us, talked yes. with us, and then to see him agree with everything that we believe in with Islam. And
incredible. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Brother Wadud, any reflections on that?
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. I was just fascinated. I felt like I lost all my train of thought and I was really into that story.
I saw you were really immersed, MashaAllah.
Really into that story. But Brother Eddie, something that we are trying to ask this Ramadan, all our guests, in terms of how does that begin? Like the transformation you talked about earlier, you made it seem very easy. Of course, it was not easy, I'm sure. You're coming from a very difficult environment and surrounding, but in like less than 2 minutes, you said step by step by step, I was able to come out of that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Muslims that are trying to go into this Ramadan thinking that I am going to give up my bad habits, or new Muslims, converts that are coming into this Ramadan and thinking that I want to get closer to God, the reason that I came into the faith. How do we take that first step? How do we find ourselves and not get distracted? What are some tools here?
Me and Sister Hala Banani, we've discussed this before at length, and there's no magic formula. And I take it from my experiences there in that transition, there was certain things that I had to do. One was what was helping me was the fueling of knowledge, just constantly taking in the knowledge.
Yes.
The knowledge makes sense. It's not something I have right. to like force myself to believe, like a Trinity, God being a man, a human being, things that just don't make sense, something strange. I remember sitting around one time and I had this kind of mystical music and I was just sitting there, just waiting for something to overtake me. Cause I was really like, I remember sitting up late at night, hearing Tony Robbins, just ordering all of his stuff, yeah. you know, the infomercials.
Right. And awaken the power within, huh?
Yeah. He's got a yes. lot of good stuff on there. No yes. problem. Right? But I was searching. And then I remember even doing that, sitting around and I'm just waiting like the Christians, they have this concept, the Holy Ghost takes over them. But right. That's not like that in Islam. It's something that the truth comes, the guidance comes. And you submit to it, and then you start implementing the things, and then your iman starts to go up. Your faith starts to increase, and that's what was happening. Another key point was the friends that were on me, I really yes. wanted good for them. And I was out, you know, right away, I was like, man, if I just show this to them. I remember going to Brazil, and I would take Dawah materials. I say, man, if I just get them to read this, they'll be enjoying this with me. And that's the beginning, those sweet stages of iman. Like, I mean, the
sweetness of the iman. Sweetness when you start iman, tasting the benefit.
Oh, it's like, you know, amazing. I was just on a cloud nine, you know, the highest level.
So you were getting like the true high, right? Like it wasn't.
Exactly.
Oh, and mashallah. So that,
I remember going to my instructors and even the head, Carlos Gracie Jr. He's Hoyce's, I believe, cousin, and then his father developed the art. And I remember going there. It's a main academy. And I was like, man, how I had this courage. And I'm sitting there. My main instructor introduces me to the head guy. This is the head now. And we sit there. He's asking me questions. And I gave him a gift. I gave him a copy of the Quran. I gave him a brief illustrated guide to understanding Islam. And we started going off. And he started talking about jinn and the magic healers there in their country that they have. And they got these beliefs now of religion that they're weird. Everything that they've seen around them. So they've gone away from religion. So it was a very interesting conversation. But I just look back and subhanAllah, it was just the hunger, the zeal. And then going back to the point I wanted to make was friends. I had to make my friends people that now I disattach with because they're either taking you up or down. And the friends, they weren't like really even the love I had for them, but it wasn't their time and they really weren't accepting. So either I was going to stay and they're going to take me back down, or I have to distance myself. And that's something that is very, it's crucial, is the companionship that you have.
Yes. This keeps coming up again and again with other hosts. And really, a friend can be like an anchor not in a positive way, it's something that just takes you down, right? Yes. And so it is important sometimes to detach yourself from the negative influence.
Very
and
important.
So you are getting this high, you're benefiting, you're trying to help your friends, they're not all coming on board. And is that what fueled you to start the talk show? First, tell us about the talk show, because you were like the first Muslim to have this talk show, mashallah, tabarakallah. And then tell us about like the Dawah Center.
That's a good question. Thank you. So what happened was, that was one example, going to Brazil and sharing there. I just naturally, no one told me that Dawah was something that was essential part of Islam, that we had to get out there and share. And I just started doing it because I believed in it. It was something that was, it made sense. Worship the Creator, one God alone. And the purpose of life was clear. Everything was clear. So I just started to, you know, with my friends, my family, and some would accept, some would reject. It's some good times, some very sad times also. But then what happened was, I was planning my first Hajj. I said, okay, earlier I said, okay, what does my Creator, what does Allah want from me? We got Salah now, that was established, the Zakat, fasting, started to implement these things. And then now the Hajj. So it was 2006. And I was like, okay, Hajj has a lot of different steps. Let's record this and we'll see. We had the Sheikh come out and we had a little panel discussion. I recorded it and I was like, well, he liked it. And I said, wow, this can be a good way that I can reach a lot of people. I was like, okay, I'm going individually talking to people, but this is a great way. YouTube had just started at that time. So then I invited the Sheikh back out.
Which year was this?
2006.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, but it took time to build up to 2006, but that's when we initially started the program. And from there, we just kicked it off. We had more filmings with this one Sheikh, and then we just started to post our stuff on the YouTube. Then we got connected to the CAN TV, Chicago Access, on the cable station, took some classes there, and alhamdulillah, it just continued to grow.
MashaAllah. So that motivation to spread Islam. You just wanted to take that passion and share it.
My main thing was also that what was being attributed to Islam was something opposite to what it was. I'll give you an example. When I was taking some brothers, my son and this other brother, to get some food to eat in the morning, I was driving the rental car. And as I was driving, I heard this noise. The car starts pulling to the right. And then it starts getting louder. And then we stop at the stops light. And I asked the brother, do you hear that? He said, yes. So he jumps out. When I stopped the car, he said, you got a flat tire. I said, subhanAllah. Okay, so we push on and we get to the Panera Bread. And there's a juice place. I wanted to take him there. So we get there. It's a few minutes away. Anyways, long story short, I had to change the tire. I said, okay, good opportunity. Let me take the good from it. Show my son how to change the tires. It's a life skill. So as I'm changing the tire, a gentleman comes up because the car fell. I took off the tire. Now I'm going to put the dummy tire. I took the tire and put it under the car for safety. But the way I put the jack, as I start to lift up more to put, actually, not jack, but this way, the car actually fell. So the guy saw it and he came. He said, what's going on, guys? You need some help? And that's happened to me before. You got to put the jack like this, da, da, da. He gets under there, and he starts helping out. And I'll never forget this, subhanAllah. So when we finish, we have a good conversation with him. And I remember asking him this question after we got into, obviously, talking about Islam throughout all this. I said, what do you know about Islam? Do you know anything? He says, yes, he goes, not much, only what I heard after the Twin Towers fell. So I was like, and this is a common reoccurrence. I asked this many times. So what does he know? He knows nothing. But he
Islamophobia. That's it. Yeah. Just Islam, the propaganda.
The propaganda. So he's not even in a neutral. He's in the negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was something, even back then, it was probably much worse. It's again reignited again. So this is the state of Americans, over 300 million of them here, that they know nothing about Islam. And what they do know is something negative. So that was what motivated me to get the correct information. And the guidance at the end of the day, it took me a while to finally understand that the guidance is in the hands of Allah, but you get rewarded for even trying, just to do your best to go ahead and convey the message and to clear up some of these myths and misconceptions.
Amazing.
Sister Hallie, I'm going to share just a quick reflection that I was thinking about. I mean, there's a lot that Brother Eddie's sharing, and I'm just taking it in. May Allah bless you, and may Allah make it a source of inspiration for all of us. He talked about just taking in the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a reason that the meditation, contemplation, reflection, you know, it was a backdrop before he started seeking knowledge. It's very prophetic. Mm-hmm. Like if you think about Abraham or Ibrahim alayhi salam or the Prophet alayhi salam, there was a sense of reflection of like, who is God? You know, where is God? And Ibrahim alayhi salam goes through this cycle of reflection, meditation, contemplation. Same thing with the Prophet alayhi salam, withdrawing himself from the distraction, getting into a sense, you know, a sacred space of meditation. Brother Eddie is reflecting on death, reflecting on the hereafter, reflecting on where is my life? Where am I heading? That's that reflection, you know, that's deep, like reflection of muraqabah, muhasabah, the meditation, contemplation that Islam talks about. It helps you unlock what is already within yourself, that we have witnessed, our souls have witnessed God. We know deep down, but to unlock it, we have to like meditate, contemplate, sometimes disconnect from all the distraction. And that was the backdrop. You know, it's very prophetic if you think about this journey. The second thing is, after that meditation, reflection, contemplation, now the angel appears from Allah and says, Iqra, read. And now the knowledge.
And you know, he started seeking knowledge.
Yeah, this is the same thing. He's getting into the knowledge and he's getting everything that he can get his hands on knowledge. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and a lot of times people ask me like, okay, Brother Lula, I understand this mindfulness, meditation, all that is really good. Where do I start? And I say, you do know that reading is a form of meditation. Writing is a form of it. You can't be distracted and read at the same time. You can be distracted and write at the same time. You know, so read and write, reading, and a few ayahs later, Allazi allama bil qalam, Allah teaches you by the pen. So reflecting, meditating with reading in this Ramadan, if there is one way that you want to get closer to God, pick up one or two books that you would like to read that'll take you closer to understanding who God is, names of Allah, for example, what hereafter is like. What your purpose of life is like. You know, just picking up a few books, surrounding yourself with reading is such a beautiful way to kind of like go deeper. The third thing that I really took away from this reflection from Brother Eddie was the heart, his heart. No one told him about da'wah. No one told him to do this. You know, for many of us, we know about da'wah and we think like 100 times, how do I even do this? No one had to even tell him anything. It just came from his heart. And that just, you know, that gave me that principle of Islam, like, if you're mindful of God, if you have that connection with God, yu'allimukumullah, Allah will teach you. God gave him that inspiration and he was just real, right? He's not seeking anyone's validation. Right. He's not seeking anything from anyone, but it's just like, what makes sense in my heart, that's what's going to flow.
Mashallah.
Some beautiful reflection there for, you know, from his journey that I feel can become like our tools of transformation. If we want transformation, contemplate, meditate, read, and connect your heart with God.
That was a very profound reflection, mashallah, yes. Brother Wadud. I loved it. Thank you so much. And something that you said, Brother Eddie, is about the 300 million Americans that are either misinformed or don't know Islam. And I remember when you were doing your advertisements for the Deen Center, and we would love to hear more about that. That was something you kept emphasizing, that there are 300 million people and they don't know about Islam and it's our responsibility. So what gives you the drive and how did you come up with that, the concept of the Deen Center?
I've always wanted to now just take things to a level where we can reach more people, that we can go ahead and have a better production. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the way. So that's what the Deen Center is about. So we, first phase, alhamdulillah, the masjid.
Mashallah.
So we're able to purchase the property. Now the masjid, we just had the opening and we established the jumas, the prayers there.
Mashallah. It's in Florida, correct?
Yes, in Florida.
What made
you
do it in Florida? You live in Chicago.
So I'm going back and forth now, once a month, 2 weeks at a time, usually out of the month. I like Florida better than Chicago.
Okay.
And to get something like this in Chicago, most people who've come out from even other cities like Philly or California, they're like, to get something this size, and make sure you guys stop by when you're in the area.
We'd love
it's literally almost one city block. There's five buildings. So this would be probably in the over $10 million to get a property like this. That's one main reason also is what you're able to purchase, the purchase price. And then the growing community there is also something that triggered that. It's a really growing community in the area, and it's well needed. And I had seen many different properties.
Right.
And what's interesting about this also is that I was doing we were doing window shopping, looking. There was really nothing that just kind of fit to what we wanted to do. You had to change some of the zoning. It wasn't mm-hmm. set up the way. You have to go through a lot of paperwork for just to get it. And then the construction, you have to build it out the way you want it. But then finally, this came up. It was like the day of, the realtor said, hey, this just popped up. You want to go see it? So it wasn't even on the list of properties. So that was something like, wow, subhanAllah. And then I said, okay, let's go see it. And that was, we had a list of properties and we went to see that one. I said, this fits. You know, when something like, you don't have to force it. The other one was like, yeah, but, and it was getting to the point we had already exhausted so many different properties. So it's like, okay, you got to just choose one. Okay. Then it's like, okay, almost like selling yourself short. You got to make it somehow fit, but this just fit in every which way. Because you have the first building. Now, Dawah Center, the Mega Dawah Center. Mm. So people have an exhibition. They come in there. The learning stations, live filming. We have inshallah, our recording studio. And then for the second building, you have the, alhamdulillah, the masjid. Then the third and fourth, we haven't even started on. Then you have the fifth, the athletic facility. And then not even talk about the outside 4 acres that you can go ahead and put the basketball courts and do other youth activities.
MashaAllah. This was such a vision that you had. And subhanAllah, when I reflect back to, you've talked about your childhood before in some of the previous interviews, and you had immigrant parents and they were quite busy, and you started hanging out with people maybe not the best influence, and maybe subconsciously you are creating this to create a safe haven for people. Because imagine if you had a Dean Center back then, right? Mm-hmm, so instead of hanging out in the streets, you have this beautiful, positive environment where you're able to enjoy yourself and yet be in the company of Muslims. And this can be, inshallah, replicated in many of the states. And we need to have a Dean Center in every state, inshallah.
Inshallah, that's the vision, inshallah.
MashaAllah.
If Allah opens up the doors, then that'd be something that, inshallah, I'd love to do.
Inshallah.
Unbelievable. Sister Holly, can I ask a quick final question?
Of course.
The question to Brother Eddie is, a lot of times people are in this doubt, self-doubt. Like, who am I to do anything? How am I going to make any difference? Do I really have any bandwidth to do anything? And they don't find themselves or their value or their meaning or their purpose. And how can they make an impact? And it seemed like as soon as you found the truth, you just didn't wait. You just went for it. So what guidance you have, anything that you want to leave behind for the audience in terms of finding their potential to make an impact?
I mean, go back to what we just started on. This life is very, and it's not just cliche, we just say it. I mean, honestly, I could just reflect back and when we first met and just when we started and how time has just flown by. You have a limited amount of time. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to leave behind? Everything's going to stay behind, but the things now that will carry on over, and this is very important, just do your part. Everyone has something that they can contribute. Not everybody has to be in front of the camera. Somebody can be helping behind the scenes, something that you dedicate some kind of time towards something that will not just benefit you and this benefit people and help create a legacy in this life, but in the next life. And I think this is very important because we get caught up with the dunya and that's it. It takes over and we forget that we will die. And then what's going to be helping us to rack up those good deeds on the scale that's going to help us to get Allah's mercy? Because obviously it's not just because of the deeds, it's Allah's mercy, but what's the manifestation of your faith and belief are the good deeds, right? So, and this is something that all the prophets and messengers, this is their main mission, to get out there and to share this beautiful message.
MashaAllah. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. And I want to honor your time, but do we have time for one last question?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, you know, we have witnessed the past 5 months, just so much destruction, so much death, so much horrific acts that the Palestinians have gone through. And I just wonder, when you look at this and you reflect, what have you learned from their resilience or from how they are handling such tragedy? Sometimes young children are teaching adults and world leaders life lessons. What have you learned from this experience?
SubhanAllah. Well, I can package a lot. That's really deep there. I've done a lot of programs on this and a lot of masks have come off That's the one thing. We see a lot of people who you would think had humanity, but now we're seeing never again seem like it was just a cliche. And we're seeing right now in 4K a genocide, an ethnic cleansing happening, and the world is just sitting there, and the world's leaders, the genocide Joe and these kind of people are just sitting there. I mean, there's, I could just go on and on. There's just so many things, but to see the resilience of people, I did a program where you had not a, non-Muslims, not yet Muslims out there, and they're seeing the Palestinians, which, by the way, you have Christians also are Palestinians. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we're talking about the Muslims saying, Alhamdulillah, they're praising Allah the Most High. They're not seeing their F this so-and-so, they're not cursing and whatnot. And these non-Muslims are like, I want to read the Quran. I want to see, what's with these Muslims? And you had a lot of them. I remember doing this, and the ladies now, who's our sister, she's without the hijab. A few months later, she's wearing the hijab. She actually took her shahada.
Which sister is this?
I don't know her name, but I didn't interview her, but she had a clip. These were TikTok videos.
One of those. We got one of the most famous ones on this program, Megan Rice. And she was the one who's like, how do they have a clad iron belief and faith? And someone is like, someone told her in the comment section, girl, that's Islam. Look it up. And that made her look up the Quran. And she started a book club with 16,000 people, non-Muslims, reading the Quran with her. She embraced Islam and put on hijab, mashallah.
She's probably one of them. Yeah, see that. And then we see a lot of the projection. I've interviewed people like Max Blumenthal and investigated journalists. I've had rabbis, Orthodox rabbis, to show that this is not something that is, because the picture that they're trying to paint, this is a Muslim-Jew thing. And this is such hogwash. This is such nonsense because we don't have a history of persecuting Jews.
Not at all. The Palestinians welcomed them when they were being persecuted in Europe. They opened up their homes. And this is the tragedy. This is the tragedy that most people don't know.
Exactly. So we go ahead and clarify this. We bring this to light. And it's a very sad state. And the masks are coming off. And we pray for our brothers and sisters there in Gaza and Palestine. May Allah free Palestine. And I mean, the people of humanity step up. You do also on the flip side. You have a lot of people's perception changing now. They're getting to see through the lies and through the programming.
Right.
They're getting to see this place, this state, really more than what it's been painted out to be. And this is not just coming from me. I have rabbis on the show coming out and calling it for what it is, apartheid, racist state. This is a state that now Jews who went there thinking that this was some Disneyland, they got to see it. One story that fascinated me, I can just share this with you. So it was a Rabbi David. I got him on a show and he's telling me, like, look, I went there and then I saw this kid. He was injured, a little kid. He had a cut or something on his hand. I took him to the proper authorities and they said, he spoke some Hebrew and they said, what are you doing? Get this Arab out of here, right? And he was like stuck. He was in a state of cognitive dissonance. He said for almost 30 years until he snapped out of it. Now he's on the front line speaking on behalf of the truth.
Mashallah.
And we would be also, I want to make this point, as Muslims, I'm sure you would agree, if this was happening to Jewish people, because it's all human life is precious, we of as Muslims course. Would be sitting there against killing of any innocent
Absolutely.
People. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
And history shows that even, I remember being in Spain, and the tour guide said, when Muslims were in control, when they were in power, we lived in peace and harmony for like 700 or 800 years. Mm-hmm. And they take pride in that and they talk about it. And so it's such an important point you bring up.
Let me, if you guys know who held the keys also for our Christian brothers and sisters out there, right?
Yeah.
And it's a shame that you have 80% of Zionists are, and this is the differentiation. There's a differentiation, as the Jewish rabbis would tell us, Zionism has hijacked Judaism.
Yes. And
for our Christians out there, that the Muslims held the keys for the oldest churches in Palestine for 800 years. There's another thing, like, you know, it's very important. Jews, Christians, Muslims lived in a relative peace. I don't know if you know this history. This is very important. If you've heard of dispensationalism, when I asked a senior Christian pastor, I said, why Christians who talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, blessed are the peacemakers, love, 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 love. Why would they be supporting the sending their money? So, Eddie, look, this is what happened. And I'll give you guys a really condensed version. You can watch this on a program. He said that, Eddie, it starts with a man, 1800 years of Christianity. There was none of this rapture and these fake prophecies that are now linked to Israel and the two comings of Jesus. So they had a man by the name of Cyrus Schofield. This is the Cyrus Schofield Bibles. Have you guys heard of this? He had got many of these teachings of the rapture and these stuff, that this is why the Christians support this. And they feel this is a part of their Aquila, their faith. And John Nelson Darby has started to take fringe teachings, as the pastor was telling me, from Christianity. So then a man who had went to prison, he was a con artist, Cyrus Schofield, he got out of jail. He all conveniently got his DD and he started what's called the Schofield Bible. He ends up getting funded by the American Zionist Association. They take this book now, Oxford Press. They push out 1 million copies free. This is free. So you say, what does the Cyrus Schofield Bible have to do with what's going on? In this Cyrus Schofield Bible, you have, it's the exegesis of verses. This is like one verse that's bread and butter. It says, whoever blesses thee is blessed. Whoever curses thee is cursed. So they connect this in the footnotes to the modern state of Israel. So now Christians have been hoodwinked. Many series, the late great Planet Earth produced 40 million copies and whatnot. So they've been tricked to believe that this is part of their religion, their akida, to support something like this when it has nothing to do with Christianity. You're killing your own Palestinian Christians who've been there for how long? And now you're sending your money. What is it, like $3-4 billion a year, instead of putting the money here? Look how many problems we have at home. You're going there to support a genocide. So these are just unbelievable things. But this is a lot of part of the programming that's happening.
Wow.
We have to educate people.
Jazakallah for shedding light on that. It's a lot of these misconceptions need to be cleared. Brother Wadud,
beautiful educational piece there that I think would be really beneficial for our audience, inshallah.
Absolutely.
And do not give up hope. Keep making dua this Ramadan. Yes. Keep showing up with whatever you can, inshallah.
Yes. Jazakallah khairan, Brother Eddie, for
coming
on, sharing your inspirational story and just sharing everything that you're doing. It really guides us and inspires us. So may Allah put more barakat in all that you're doing.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan for having me on. Thank you so much.
It does. It's all heart. It's all heart. I just could feel the heart the entire time.
Allah bless you. But inshallah, we'll see you in person in the Dawah Center.
Inshallah.
All right. Jazakallah khairan. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.